chapter 16 and can be found on page 1084 of the Church Bibles. John 16, verses 12 to 15. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by talking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'm Simon. It's nice to be given, thank you, an easy passage to speak on in just 8 minutes. We're thinking today, aren't we, about the Trinity. And I'm going to bring a picture up onto the screen, hopefully. There you are. And you can see there, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's a mystery that some of us take for granted. Actually, we spend so much time talking about it, we actually fail to think sometimes about what it is we're trying to explain to people. So let me use an analogy. Now, this is a word that some of you know. If you know it, please don't say it. But what is dihydrogen oxide? Matthew can't say. I don't think Piers should say either, really. But anyone else want to volunteer? No? Anyone? It's water. Yes, dihydrogen oxide is water. And water, as you know, comes in many different forms. So here is a picture. Now, can you see the different forms of water, the different states of water in this picture? Anyone shout them out?
Ice.
Ice. There's a lake with water in it. And also there's something else there. Water vapor, yes, rising up state. So you've got all three states of water. Water is the most amazing thing. Do you know one of the most amazing things about water is that it reaches its maximum density at 4 degrees? So if you go below 4 degrees, it's lighter than actually if you go to 4 degrees, and if you go up in temperature from 4 degrees, it becomes lighter again. And that, without that fact, fish would never survive in lakes, because it forms ice on the top. You know, it's the most amazing thing, is water. Well, okay, water is one interesting analogy. So you can see water has three different forms. These analogies, of course, are imperfect, but let's humour me for a minute. Now, do you know what an allotrope is? An allotrope is, in the same state, a material that has three different forms. And here's a good one. There's the allotropes of carbon, or three of them, there are actually more. Three of the allotropes of carbon are graphite, which you've heard of. Yeah, we write pencils and that sort of thing. We write with graphite, don't we? Diamonds. Did you realise that coal and diamonds are made of the same thing? And then the third one, you've probably not heard of this one before, but fullerene. And it was basically discovered in 1985. And fullerene actually is a form of carbon where there are little balls. It's quite interesting. Little carbon balls, in fact, shells. And this is used, actually, quite interesting. You've probably experienced many of these things yourself. They're used in medicines, in drugs that are administered. And they're also used in anti-aging compounds in cosmetics. Did you know that? So, gents, just a little word for you. It's probably better that you give your wife fullerene than the diamonds. I can see a lot of support there. I'm seeing some... Yeah, so the same material has three different forms. And when we think about God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, we're thinking about the same being in three different forms. And it is really a mystery, but hopefully next few minutes we might unpack some of that. So you may have seen this diagram before. I find this quite helpful. It's a very old thing. This is, you know, it's translated from Greek, I think. So you've got there effectively three circles. Can you see the three circles? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And around the outside, there's a sort of circle linking them together. It says the Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is not the Father. They are three different persons, but together we see them as God. And this is the mystery that we attempt to explain. I'm attempting to explain now, but it is, if you like, diamond is not coal, is not fullerene, but they are actually of the same substance. I'm going to change the subject slightly. One of the books that has had most profound effect on my life is this book by W.H. Vanston, Bill Vanston, who was a canon at Chester Cathedral. And he wrote this book in the 1970s. It won awards. It's been written about many, many times. Love's Endeavour, Love's Expense. And in it, he talks about the process of adoption. And do you know anyone who has adopted or who has been adopted? You may know of, yes, I'm sure. Is it an easy process? I'm looking around. No, it's not an easy process. You find a family who has adopted. In fact, birth is the same thing, really. When you have a child, is it easy? I'm looking to new parents at the back. Is it always easy? No. And when we read in Ephesians about God adopting us, what does that mean for God? It's a very interesting question. Do you think it's so easy? God is so powerful, it's so easy to adopt us. Is that what you think? The perfect parent who can adopt? No. W.H. Vanston explains in this book is that actually it's an enormously painful process for God. Let's think about that for a moment. He chose to adopt us. Is that because he desperately needed to have a child? He definitely desperately needed us. No. If you look at the picture of the relationship between the elements of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, in perfect union, completely satisfied, completely happy in each other. They don't need anything else. But yet, what we learn is that God chose to adopt us. And what we read in this passage, what we've read in this passage this morning, is that Jesus says, no, I'm sending the Holy Spirit to you so that you can be part of this. You can be involved. And if you like, to just extrapolate this diagram a bit, he's involving us. He's saying the Holy Spirit is going to prompt you to pray. So if we look at this circle, we think about the relationship there. The Father sends the Holy Spirit to tell us, to inspire us, to infuse us. And we pray, we get involved, and we pray through Jesus to the Father. So, you know, think about this perfect will of the Father being expressed through the Spirit to us. And then we pray through the Son to the Father, and thy will be done. And that is the most amazing thing. And yet we are not perfect. So just think what pain we as children give him, both pain and joy. And well, you know, we've been looking recently, haven't we, at the lost son. This is a lovely painting of the son coming back to the father. How did the father feel when the son was away? What do you remember as we were studying that passage? How do you think he felt? Broken? Happy? No. Imagine, and there's a lovely song by Amy Grant, and she talks about the prodigal. She says, and the words go, and I'll be waiting. I may be young or old and grey, but I'm counting the days, and I'll be waiting until I finally see you there. I mean, it's just the picture of the father, desperate. Yeah, look at his eyes. You can't see it so clearly up here, but his eyes, he's got tears in his eyes. He's so happy that this son, the son who was once lost, has come back again. And so that is the relationship that he wants with us, he adopts us into, but one which causes him immense heartache, I'm sure. You know, I know I probably grieve God every single day, and I'm sure we all do too. But also we bring him joy. This is, of course, a Narnia picture. You know, the lion, the face, into the face. What joy is to look at the face of the king, and what joy that brings him to have his children around him. You must have seen those scenes in Narnia when the children are with him, and the joy that it brings him to. So the idea is that we bring God joy and that we bring heartache. The process of adoption is not one that's easy. It's one that causes him both joy and pain. And of course, we have this tremendous opportunity to be part. If you can't see the picture there clearly, it's a group of people praying for somebody. And I want you just to remember that cycle of prayer, how God prompts us to pray. And we pray earnestly for somebody or for something because we are prompted by the Spirit. And we pray through the Son, say, Lord, may your will be done on earth today. What a tremendous opportunity. So this passage we're studying today is where Jesus tells us that we're going to be in that relationship with him. This is where he says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. You will be part of this. What an amazing thing.